The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I still have many things to say to you, but I cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, you will be guided into all the truth. For the Spirit will not speak on the Spirit's own authority, but will speak whatever the Spirit hears, and will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit will glorify me, taking what is mine and declaring it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that the Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Please join me in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your power. Come and fill us with the truth. Come and fill us with Christ himself, that we may bear him faithfully in our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name, for our sake and for the sake of the world. Amen. A very good morning to you all. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, and I'm not going to dwell much in trying to explain about the theology of the Trinity. I know there are so many controversies where people want to look at where is Trinity written in the Bible. I'm not going to dwell much on that. But today I want to share with you about truth. And today I want to start by telling you the famous story that many of you or all of you are familiar with. A story or a myth about a young George Washington cutting down a cherry tree. And this is one of the stories that I told my son when he was doing his eighth grade. I read this story and it was very wonderful to me, and I said, I want to share this story with him. And when he started his ninth grade, I sent this story again as a text so that he can learn about truth. Truth, George, said the elder Washington, is the loveliest quality of youth. I would ride 50 miles, my son, to see the little boy whose heart is so honest and his lips so pure, that we may depend on every word he says. Oh, how lovely does such a child appear in the eyes of everybody. His parents look on him. His relations glory in him. They are constantly praising him to their children, whom they beg to imitate him. They are often sending for him to visit them and receive him when he comes with as much joy as if he were a little angel, come to set pretty examples to their children. But oh, how different, George, is the case with the boy who is so given into lying that nobody can believe a word he says. He is looked at with aversion wherever he goes, and the parents dread to see him come among their children. Oh, George, my son, rather than see you come to this pass, dear as you are to my heart, gladly I would assist to nail you up in your little coffin and follow you to your grave. Papa, said George, very seriously, do I ever lie? Do I ever tell lies? No, George. I thank God you do not, my son. And I rejoice in the hope you will never will. Now, when George was 6 years old, like most of the little boys, he went about chopping everything that came in his way. One day, in the garden, he unluckily tried the edge of his hatchet on a beautiful young English cherry tree. The next morning, the old gentleman, finding out what had befallen his tree, nobody could tell him anything about it. And suddenly, George and his hatchet made their appearance. George, says the father, do you know who killed the beautiful little cherry tree yonder in the garden? This was a tough question, and George staggered under it for a moment, but quickly recovered himself and, looking at his father with the sweet face of youth, brightened with the inexplicable charm of all-conquering truth, he bravely cried out, I can't tell a lie, Papa. You know, I can't tell a lie. I did cut a tree with my hatchet. The elder Washington, oh, ran to my arms, my son. You dearest boy, cried Washington. Run to my arms. Glad am I, George, that you killed my tree. Such an act of heroism in my son is more worthy than 1,000 trees, though blossomed with silver and their fruits of the purest gold. What a wonderful story. Truth, George. Truth. We all want truth. The search for truth is deep within the human spirit. Deep down inside all human beings is the desire to know the truth. However good that may be, or however painful it may be, a sign of health in us is that we search for the truth. My dear friends, if there is anything that the modern world needs, it is truth. Truth is being denied. Truth is being ignored. Truth is being erased. We need truth. And we need people who tell the truth. But also, there is too much lying which has been going all the way back time immemorial. Lying has been around a long time. But hear this. So when we speak the truth, we are doing God's work. But there's also the other side. When human beings don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be deceived by lies, by distortions, and half-truths. A sign of sickness in us as human beings is that we try to avoid the truth, or distort the truth, or manipulate the truth. As Apostle Paul warns the church at Ephesus that false teachers will seek to convey new truth, which is nothing more than man-made teaching that appeals so freshly desires and which will attract a following. But I want to tell you this morning, believers should be careful here. From time to time through the history of the Christian church, people have arisen who have said that they had new revelations and they have led people astray. I think you see this in our televisions also. Many people claiming to have the revelations and sometimes some prophecies. We have seen this. People who try to manipulate and tell us lies. And we want to find the truth about everything. All human beings have the spirit of truth, the desire to find the truth in all aspects of our lives. For example, we want to find out the truth about the universe and how it works. We want to find the truth about everything, about medicine and diseases. We spend tons of money on medical research. We want to find out the truth in history. We want to find the truth about politics. We want to find the truth about ourselves. And I've been looking another web on Ancestry, and I've seen people going way back. Where exactly do they come from? They want to find the truth. Do my parents come from Mexico? Where do I come from? From Nigeria? From the Pacific? Where do I come from? People have the quest to search for the truth. It is with this introduction, my dear friends, that we approach the gospel lesson for today. The gospel lesson includes the powerful phrase, the spirit of truth, and is our focus in this sermon today. The spirit of truth. When the spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. In this passage, we are reminded that God is spirit, and that God is the source of our drive for truth. This drive for truth in all aspects of life comes from God. And let's focus on the word guide. The Holy Spirit is none other than the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit will guide us, will lead us, show us, reveal to us the truth about Jesus and God. So this Spirit will testify, give evidence and witness to the words and wisdom of Jesus Christ, his miracles and parables, his Good Friday and Easter. And this spirit of truth leads us to listen to Jesus so that we will discover the truth about God. And the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring our image of Jesus into sharp focus so that we see Jesus Christ as clearly and distinctly as humanly possible, so that we can begin to grasp the truth about God. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to guide us into the truth about everything, and especially and specifically to guide us into the truth about Christ, who is the mind and heart of God. We personally experience God in the Son, in Jesus, who was the physical embodiment of God here on earth. And the Christian faith teaches that the fullness of God's love lived fully in the body, mind, and the spirit of Jesus, in the flesh of Jesus. You and I experience Jesus all the time. We experience God through the stories about Jesus in the flesh. We know God through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And this is the truth. But by the events of the Good Friday and Easter Sunday, God's love was fully embodied in the body of Jesus. His teachings, his miracles, his way of life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. And now, his kingdom has crashed into our world, evidenced by the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And now the Spirit of the Triune God is here to enable us to live fully into it, as it means the subjects of this kingdom as we await for the things to come. And if we want to know God, the Advocate longs to show us each and every day by being present with us. So the death of Jesus is more than what the disciples can bear. And what does bear in this text mean? To bear means to carry as a load or a weight. So metaphorically, it is tied to the suffering. Now, the disciples had this messianic hope of the king who would come and vanquish the powers of the evil forces. So, one, after the suffering, the loss of such dreams as a result of Jesus' death, their rejection by the religious authorities and the civil authorities, would they be in a position to receive what Jesus wanted them to know? But also the Spirit comes to guide us into all truth, into all the truth. And again, the word guide means to lead in a way, as an embodiment of the Torah, and more specifically, the halakha in Hebrew text, meaning the way to walk. So in other words, the Spirit will help us to know the way to walk as Christ walked, to love as Christ loved, to proclaim peace as Christ proclaimed the peace. The Spirit is therefore a way of talking about God as our companion. Now the Spirit will be guiding the community that Jesus was, and Jesus will continue to be their guide. But not now, he will do through the Spirit's work among them. He will continue to communicate the truth about God through the Spirit. And the Spirit will continue to speak into the heart of the church to give guidance and discernment. And as we see this morning, the gracious Spirit of God still takes us by the hand, still walks with us, still equips us, still journeys with us. When relationships break down, when jobs disappear, when finances become tight, when illness strikes, when 1,001 other challenges come our way, we need all the help we can get. And the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Paraclete, walks alongside us. And God provides it by sending his Spirit. And this is the message of hope this morning. The Spirit will continue to reveal the thoughts and the words of Jesus. And by continuing to tell the story about Jesus, we too, as a church, we participate in the works of the Holy Spirit. But now, what is our mission in today's world? Our mission is to expose sin as the killing of love. And spirituality is advocating for the life of God in the world. Life is not defined by the lots of commandments, but by the story of Jesus. And that one all over story is God so loved the world. Human beings did not recognize that love. They killed it. But God reaffirmed it. We can receive it, my dear friends. We can share it. And ourselves become the advocates for that same love and life in the world, accompanied and inspired by the Spirit. Amen.